Revelation chapter 1, we're going to continue our series on the seven churches, and basically this is seven churches of Revelation, and it's actually a path to revival is what this is, what it's intended to be. So it is a path to revival, and I wanted to talk about it. Now, we went through an overview last week, and we went through Revelation chapter 1. And then we'll start with the churches in chapter 2. But I told you last week in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, Christ washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's only the blood of Jesus that can wash away sin. Holy water or none of that will do it. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away sin. And that blood is applied when we repent and believe the gospel. That's the only way it's applied. And then, but notice it said, from God the Father and from the seven spirits that are before his throne. And then it says, and from Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people get, and this is something I wanted to take some time for us to look at, because this is very important, and it's important you understand what's being done here. A lot of people have different ideas. What are those seven spirits before the throne of God? All right, what are they? And I'm going to show you what those seven spirits are. Those seven spirits are really one spirit, and it's seven. That number seven is important in the Bible. It's a number of completeness. It's a number of perfection. It's a number of that's used several places in the Bible. The number seven is used many places in the Bible. Notice that there are seven churches here, and seven angels of the seven churches. Well, some people believe that because it says to the angel of this church, they actually think they're angels and those seven spirits are angelic beings. They are not. Notice, first thing I want you to notice about these seven spirits is that they are mentioned in the same breath with the Father and the Son. Okay? They are mentioned. Now, you go through the Bible and you look through the epistles, and you look at all of this that is going on, and you see that grace and peace greeting that's given. It normally says grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But here it says God our Father and the seven spirits before his throne and Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, who unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So these seven spirits are mentioned in the same breath with the Father and the Son. That's important. There are no angelic beings that deserve to be mentioned in the same breath with the Father and the Son. So the only one, and I'm going to tell you right now what it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's very important for you to understand that. What a lot of people don't understand about the book of Revelation is the book of Revelation, much like the Old Testament, deals with Israel, because most of it takes place during the time of Jacob's trouble, during the 70th week of Daniel that we're talked about, that period of great tribulation. And that seven spirits before his throne is actually very important to the Jews. The temple, the candlesticks that we talk about, most people agree that those candlesticks are the menorah, if you will. And the menorah is a seven-branched candlestick, and we'll see that. And you go into the temple, and the light in the temple, the candlestick in the temple, it is a menorah. That's why they use that picture. So it's seven. It's got seven branches and boles on it. So when you look at that, and you can go back and you can study all this out, but notice it's from the seven spirits before his throne, and they are mentioned, like I said, in the same breath with the Father and the Son. That means that they are of equal importance. And I say they, which really I mean he, but we need to understand what he's talking about here. And we'll see that in more detail as we go on. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, this is what he says: unto the angel of the church in Sardis, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, and that thou livest and art dead. So we see it there once again mentioned there. And then in Revelation chapter 4, he says, in chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. All right? So seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So we see that picture yet again. And then in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, notice that we talk about seven lamps, right? Are the seven spirits of God. Now we talk about seven horns and seven eyes on a lamb. Now we know who the lamb is, don't we? Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. But notice what it talks about that. So it says that he has the seven spirits of God. Now, when it talks about that, if we use that term of the seven spirits being the Holy Spirit and perfection and completeness, I want you to see some interesting things about this. In John chapter 3 and verse 34, John the Baptist is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ did not have the Spirit by measure like we do. We have the indwelling of the Spirit, or what many will call the baptism of the Spirit, or in being baptized by the Spirit of God, and baptized into one body. But we have what it says in the book of Ephesians, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, but we don't have the fullness of the Spirit. We have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to yield ourselves to the Spirit. If we yield ourselves to the flesh, that causes us trouble. And so there's a battle that goes on in the life of a Christian. That battle never took place in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was tempted, he wasn't tempted to see if he would fail. He was tempted so we would know that he couldn't fail. Amen. He was tempted for our sakes, not for us. And so, and in Colossians 2:9, it says that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, so in that body was all the fullness of the Godhead. That's who he is as glorified. And here it says he has the seven spirits of God. He has the complete and fullness of the Spirit of God. All right? He didn't have a sin nature like you and I do. He was without sin. He was a perfect lamb. And that's why he could die for our sins. And that's why he could pay the penalty and pay it in full in our place. The only way I can pay the penalty for my sins is to die and go to hell and spend eternity there in torment. It's the only way I can. Because the wages of sin is death. But Christ died, shed his blood, conquered sin and death, rose from the dead incorruptible, proving that he paid it. That's why when he cried out on Calvary's cross, it is finished. It's done. The penalty's paid. And the proof is in his resurrection. And there it is. And so now the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation only comes through him. You can only get it from him. But notice he talks about that. So we see the seven horns and seven eyes. But the question about this is, does this show up anywhere else in the Bible? And the answer is absolutely yes. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. And if you want to take the time and read over this, read the whole chapter, it's very important. But look at verse 8 through 10. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." So God is telling them that he is going to send forth a branch, a servant called the branch. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to, he set before him a stone. And he said, on that stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. So there we have this one that is the branch, that is the stone. Now Jesus is the stone that the builders set at naught, which has become the head of the corner. Alright? He's that stone that if any man fall upon, he'll be broken, but if it fall upon him, it'll grind him to pieces. But notice, on that stone, there are seven eyes. Alright? So that stone that the builders set upon, at naught, has become the head of the corner. Alright? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes, the Bible says. And so, what he says there, he says, "I will engrave the graving thereof." In other words, this is my doing. This is what I've done. This is my plan. This is my will. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the branch and he is the stone. Alright? Now, I want you to understand that. Notice he's going to put seven eyes on it. Now, look at Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, What seest thou? And said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, the one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." Now Zerubbabel was the governor that came back with Ezra and Nehemiah to over there. He said, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before that Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, his hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. So he sees a vision of a candlestick, if you will, or a lamp, seven lamps burning and being filled with oil, and then two anointed ones where the oil is running down to those anointed ones. And he sees that picture. There's two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. Now, I will remind you that during the tribulation, there are two witnesses that show up, aren't there? So think about that. And notice what he's talking about. So this talking about the eyes and the horns and the lamps and the seven spirits, those are all pictures of the Holy Ghost. Because he said to Zerubbabel, he said, you need to tell Zerubbabel, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So there's the picture. It's not by man's might or man's power, it's by the Spirit of God. That's why it is so important that we yield ourselves to God's Spirit, that we learn to obey the Spirit of God when it speaks through the Word of God or through our conscience or thoughts. And understand the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. And so we understand that. But notice, those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, there's the picture that he said, if we go back to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, the Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which is the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And then if 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, when Samuel is rebuking Saul for his failure to obey God and kill everything that of the Amalekites, and he saved Agag alive there. If you read in 2 Chronicles, he says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout. I'm sorry, this may not be Samuel, but I'd go back and look at it. I don't think this is Samuel, but I may be wrong on that. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, so I need to verify that. But he says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. I think that's wrong on there. Let me go back to 2 Chronicles real quick and make sure I've got that correct. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And I don't know why I was thinking that way, but I'm not. 17. Let's see. 16 verse. I'm in 1 Chronicles. That's why it's not working. 2 Chronicles is not Saul, by the way. I don't know why I was thinking that. I was thinking 2 Samuel maybe when I was thinking as I was reading it. But let me get it to you correctly here. All right. Let's see. Asa was the king. Asa was the one that he went and called upon the king of Syria. And that's what I was... So I was thinking 2 Samuel. I'm sorry about that. But Asa, the king, had the king of Israel came up against him. And Asa was the king of Judah after the dividing of the kingdom under Rehoboam after Solomon died. And Asa was there, and Baasha, king of Israel, was coming against him, and he was afraid, so he went and sent gifts to the king of Syria, to Ben-Hadad, I believe it was. he sent treasures to him and asked him to come. And then God sent Hanani the seer. In verse 7, he said, he came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and hast not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And Asa got mad and put Hanani in jail because he didn't like what he was told. And it cost him. But the truth of the matter is that, notice he said, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. So you see that picture all the way there about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God are those eyes of the Lord. Now, that's important. That passage of Scripture is important because the eyes of the Lord are looking for something. What are they looking for? Well, they're looking for somebody whose heart is perfect toward the Lord. Somebody that's yielded to the Lord. That's what the Spirit of God's looking for. And when we talk about, when we go through these churches and we look at the things they were commended for and the things they were rebuked for, these are things that we ought to take note of and make sure that we as a church and as individuals are not guilty of these things in any form or fashion, so that our hearts will be right with God. We want to eschew that which is evil, those things that they're rebuked for, and we want to emulate those things which they were commended for. And so that's the picture that we have there as we look at the scriptures there. And so we look at these seven spirits of God, and you know, we've talked about who they are, and we say this is the Holy Spirit, this is the perfection of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, this is the different aspects of the Holy Spirit and the way he works. And I want you to notice something also. We say that because these seven spirits of God are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already seen that. They're in the stone. They're in the Lamb, right? They're in the stone in Zechariah. They're in the Lamb in Revelation. All in that one called the branch. So all, once again, they are that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So it's not by measure, it's full. Alright, so we see that. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I want you to see another thing. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Alright, Isaiah chapter 11. And I want you to see something else as we look at this. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, we talk about the Holy Spirit of God, we talk about the Father, and we look at this. And he says in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." So that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ at what? His second coming. When he comes, what is he going to do? He's going to destroy them with the breath of his mouth. And in Revelation chapter 19, when he comes back, he hath a sharp sword that goeth forth out of his mouth. His name is called the Word of God. So we see that about him. But I want you to notice something. I want you to notice something when we look at this. We talked about Jesus having the fullness of the Spirit, right? Alright. Notice what it says. Look at what it says about him. "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." There's that picture again. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord." How many do you count there?
Seven.
You see that? The Spirit of the Lord. He's divine. Deity. the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He is. There we see the picture of that sevenfold Spirit of God. We see that picture of Him. That is important because Israel needs to understand this, and we do too, by the way. So that makes it clear that when we talk about this, this is the Spirit of the Lord. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Spirit. This is who these seven spirits are. Does everybody got understand? You follow me? All right. Now let me give you something that is very important for us as we go through and we study the Word of God and we study these churches in Revelation. Notice that there are what? Seven churches, right? There are seven churches. And those churches, like I told you last week, you know, those churches, and we'll look at that. Many people have tried to put them to be representative of ages and different types of churches. And there is some validity to that. But we never want to lose sight of the fact that these are local churches. These are local churches. We're going to show you where they are and everything, where they're located. We'll work on all that. Maybe we'll have some visuals where you can get an idea of what they are. But there are seven churches. And he goes through and he talks to the seven churches. Right? And he says different things about himself. But at the end of every church, he says, he makes a statement. He says to them, before he tells them, before he tells them and gives them the reward of those who overcome, he makes a statement. He says seven times, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the," what? Churches. Let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So that means it's not just the answer, the information there and these seven things that the Holy Spirit says to the churches. It's not just for that particular church. And not just for those seven. It's for us. We need to pay attention to it. And we're in a day and age where we have a circumstance in a day and age where we are being pushed really, really hard. And churches will be pushed really, really hard. I read an article today in China. They are, you know what they're doing? They're actually going to the parents and grandparents of children when they go enter into school and telling them they have a law saying the children have to go to school. If they don't go to school, they're going to punish them. But they have another law that says that their children won't be able to come to school unless they renounce their faith. So if they're Buddhist or Falun Gong or Christian or whatever the case like that, they have to do that. So they get penalized either way. So they have to sign a statement. And from what I read, I mean, once again, this is an article I read. It has to be verified. But if these things are true, from what I read, the teachers in the schools, they don't get paid their bonuses and things like that or whatever their whatever it is, however they pay them. They don't get paid until anybody in their schools, families in their schools, if they have any child in their schools where those families didn't sign that statement saying they give up their faith. That's how they're being persecuted over there. And we're getting to where we might see, we might see what's going on. We might see something similar here, the way things are going, if we don't wake up. And it's crazy, isn't it? But whether their church is over there or whether their church is here, these are the things that the Spirit of God says to the churches. 7 times He said that. Now, when we look at that and we look at the way this is it, we understand, we look at the Old Testament, we see, okay, we understand this terminology has been carried over from the Old Testament, and since the book of Revelation is very pertinent to Israel, because it's not just Israel, but it is very pertinent because this is the time when Israel is going to be redeemed. Remember, He's going to remove the iniquity of that land in one day. All right, that's at His second coming. All right, so He's going to remove the iniquity of that land in one day. But we see that terminology of the 7 eyes and the 7 horns and the 7 lamps. And we see it repeated in Revelation, but it represents the Holy Spirit. But then we see that there's 7 churches and the Holy Spirit has 7 things to say to the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So we need to understand that. So that is why these 7 churches of Revelation are so important. And think about it. If you and I would pay attention to this on a personal level as a church, if we would pay attention to it and not just relegate it to the things of, this is the danger we have when we get in the book of Revelation. We miss important things. We miss important things because in our culture we want to relegate the book of Revelation to the future, and that's not something I have. Because, I mean, after all, I'm saved and I'm going to go up in the rapture. I won't be here. Well, if that's the way you think, you've missed it. Because He said at the beginning of the book of Revelation, what did He say? He said, blessed is he that readeth, they that hear, they that keep, right? Read, hear, and keep. A threefold blessing. And notice, before we ever get to Israel, God's speaking to who? The churches. Speaking to us. That's why I'm saying a proper understanding and study and heeding of what God says to those 7 churches is a pathway to revival. We say we want revival. Do you really? Think about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll pick up next week with the church at Ephesus. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you've given. And Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to understand and learn and grow and rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, there's so many crazy theories about the book of Revelation, but we just need to let the word of God speak for itself and heed it and obey it. Help us to that end, we pray. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.